Good morning, listeners, and welcome to this week's Ag Report. I'm Jim Finn. My first guest this morning will be Christopher Hanrahan from Chagas. And after that, I will be meeting some of the stallholders at the Clonmel Farmers Market. My first guest this morning is Christopher Hanrahan, better known as Chris, and he's with the Chagas office in Nina. And this morning we are going to be talking about sheep. Good morning, Chris, and thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me this morning.
Okay, you're going to tell us all about sheep schemes. So what's out there at the moment?
So at the minute, the department have a new sheep scheme open. It's been open the last 2 weeks. It's called the National Sheep Welfare Scheme, or NSWS for short. So the scheme is there. Its aim is to assist farmers to produce better quality animals and implement practices in animal welfare measures on farm. So it's the measures are kind of are separate to the sheep improvement scheme that's out there at the minute, or the farmers are tied into at the minute. So these are all additional measures, and it's an additional scheme. So it's going on for 1 year. So it starts at the 1st of January 2024, and it's running to the 31st of December 2024. So it's a 1 year scheme, but just to make everyone aware that all actions must be completed by the 15th of October of this year, 2024. So to be eligible for the scheme, you have to submit a valid sheep welfare or sheep census for 2023. That's been completed by the 14th of February. And you also have to complete your 2024 based application. So you have until the 15th of May of this year to complete your based application. So that's farmers that are eligible. Mm-hmm. So the payment rates for a farmer are 8 euro per euro. So the way that it's worked out, the eligible number of euros is it's based off either an average of the census from the years 2020 to 2022, or it's the census for 2023, whichever is the larger number. And that's your reference number. They can be changed, they can be brought down, but they can't be brought up. So if a farmer had 50 euros in averaged out in 2020 to 2022, or if you had, and then you might have maybe 60 in 2023, it goes off the 60 number. But if he or she is cutting back in numbers from that, say that 60 euros that was there in 2023, that just has to be recorded to the department that they're going to only have maybe 50 euros or 55, whichever they're going to have. So it's 8 euro per euro. Mm-hmm. So they have to complete two actions. So there's four actions in total that are available to select from. So one, there's a category A actions and category B. So it's selecting an action from either category A, one from category A and one from category B. So it's 4 euro per category. Okay. So the category A actions that are there are shearing or body condition scoring of yours. And category B actions are clostridial vaccinate yours or plunge dip yours. That's the category B. So it's either select shearing or body condition scoring, and then along with that to select either clostridial vaccination of yours, that's your or your plunge dipping for parasites is their action. So all the four actions must be, or all the actions must be completed by the 15th of October. So with the shearing action, chose again, as I said, just 15th of October, that's to be shown by, and to keep the receipts or the records. So the receipt from your shearer or a receipt that you sold it to a wool merchant is the requirements for that scheme. And then to actually record on the action booklet when the date you recorded and how many euros you shorn. Or if you're selecting the body condition scoring action, you must complete this action twice. So you must complete it between either the 15th of April to the 15th of July, and then 6 weeks later, you must complete it again. So the 1st of August or between the 1st of August and the 15th of October. So that's just to check the overall body condition score of the ewes. Mm-hmm. As a physical assessment, to check how much fat they have on their body and how much muscle they have. And it's scored from 1 to 5. So 1 being a very thin ewe and 5 being an over conditioned ewe, so a fat ewe as such. So the idea there is record what ewes scored on between the first assessment and then rescore them again 8 weeks later. and then record it on the recording book. And then any O's that are underscored, so under 3.5, record them down. And maybe the idea there is to supplement feed them before they, or put them on better quality grass before they go to the ram in the autumn. Then looking at the category 2 or category B action, so there's two here again. So it's, you're either selecting the vaccination of ewes for clostridial diseases, or you're doing the plunge dipping. So the clostridial vaccination, it's the clostridial diseases can affect all animals. Generally, what you find is a dead animal in the field. Mm-hmm. It can affect cattle or affect sheep. Many of you might be familiar with one of them, the blackleg,
yeah,
as you often hear people being vaccinated first. So just with the sheep, there's, you have the 8-in-1 and 10-in-1 vaccinations. So that's to vaccinate against for puppy kidney, tetanus, braxy, blackleg, Lyme dysentery. They're your main ones.
Yeah.
And also pasteurella as well. So with that, as I said, it's to vaccinate before the 15th of October. And if you are vaccinating your lambs, they need two vaccinations as well. So if it's your ewes you're vaccinating on a yearly basis, you only need one vaccination. But if you're vaccinating your lambs then as well, they need two vaccinations, 3 weeks apart. Sorry, 4 to 6 weeks apart.
Yeah.
Then, or if you're selecting the plunge dip in action. So again, the 15th of October is has to be completed by, and the lambs and ewes must be dipped. So the dip is to prevent for scab, ticks, blowfly, mm-hmm. sheep. So it's a prevention measure there. It can be carried out using your own dipping tubs, or if you get a mobile plunge dipping service, just what you have to do there is keep a receipt of the products used if you're using your own, and or if it's from a contracted service for dipping, to keep a receipt and record it in your recording book for the scheme. So they're the four actions that have to be,
yeah,
that you select from. So
yeah.
Two actions, one from each. So one from category A, one for category B. Just with the payments there, as well. So as I said, it was 8 euro per year to complete all actions. So to complete your two mandatory actions, mm-hmm. one from A, one from B. But if you only complete, we'll say your category A action, just for example, if it was shearing, you only get paid 2 euro per year for doing it. So you don't, for example, farmer does category A, so his shearing, and his category B would say vaccinating ewes for clostridial diseases, but only shears them before the 15th of October, he'll only get paid, or she'll only get paid 2 euro for each ewe that's selected for the scheme. So if it's 50 ewes, it'll be getting paid 100 euro for the scheme. While if the farmer decides to apply for the scheme and doesn't complete any action, there is a penalty there for not completing any action. So it works out about 160 a euro. So on 50 euros, it'd be a 8 euro penalty for not completing the actions for the scheme.
I think two of those elements would be very, very easy to complete as far as any sheep farmer is concerned. I'm only going back to my own time. There was a few sheep on the farm here, and definitely we would be shearing the sheep, and we would also be dipping them. You know, the question I'm asking you, Chris, really is, are there some farmers who don't shear and don't dip from one year to another?
Yeah, the numbers will be small on the shearing side. So
yeah,
from an animal welfare point of view, nearly every farmer is shearing, and there's only maybe a small number that aren't. But with the dipping now, there isn't as many dipping sheep. What's become more popular is the use of porons to try to control the flies and the blowflies and the ticks and that. But a lot of farmers would be doing the vaccinating their ewes for the clostridial diseases, the 10-in-1s and the 8-in-1s. So in a lot of cases, farmers are doing the actions anyways. It's just they'll be incentivized that bit more to do them. All you have to do is sign up for the scheme and to just record the actions that are being carried out. Yeah,
I could see. Yeah, there wouldn't be any problem then whatsoever for a farmer to meet the requirements, because definitely the injection against those 8 or 9 or 10 diseases that can be fairly common, that's something most farmers would be doing anyway.
That's right.
Yeah. basically, from a sheep farmer's point of view, then it's a no-brainer not to enter this scheme.
Absolutely, yeah. Sure, any bit of money you can get from
Europe,
from doing it, doing the actions you'd be doing anyways, is
yeah,
it'd be well worthwhile. Yeah.
Okay, well, look, thanks very much for joining us this morning. That, listeners, was Christopher Hanrahan, or Chris as I call him, telling us about the new sheep scheme. It's open now, and if you have sheep, why not join it? Because you will, by my count anyway, you will be doing two of those special things that you have to do to claim the grant. Listeners, as I said at the top of the programme this morning, that I would be at the Clonmel Farmers Market, and the first person I met when I walked in the gate here was Steve Mercer. Steve has a little enterprise here called The Oven. Stephen, look, thanks very much. You're the man that invited me here. So now, what does happen here?
Okay, well, good morning. Thanks for coming down. So yeah, it's a lovely little farmer's market. Something when I sort of first moved here, it's just something that grabbed me, the community, the vibe. And it's just, there's so many things on offer. And to be honest, we just want more people to come down and see us and see what we're doing.
Right, okay. Now, what are you doing here?
So I run a little vegetarian food truck doing sourdough flatbreads. I also do sort of pancakes, and I'm just using the very best tips ingredients, and that's me.
Something very simple but not simple.
Simple but not simple, that's
right,
the idea. That's
what's the not simple thing about
what's
it?
What's the simple? Well, the sourdough, obviously, there's 2 days' work in that. Everything's done using my own starters, so yeah, there's plenty of time to build the flavour.
Yeah, okay. Now, you are trying to build this market and expand on it. You know, it's been here for quite some time, Steve. I've been here in the past, but it's probably 10 or 12 years ago. And it still looks more or less the same. So you're trying to renew it, and you're trying to get young people involved. How do you see yourself and the rest of your stallholders here involving and getting young people more involved, and more young people coming here to buy from you?
Well, that's exactly it. The market's been an institution in Clonmel, and obviously I've only been around here for a year, 2 years perhaps. I just think there's a massive gap, and there could be lots more going on. And young people obviously are, you know, getting far more interested in their ingredients and where the ingredients are coming from. And I just think it's really important that people learn that, and people bring their kids and people come out and try what we've got on offer here.
Do you then have special days here that you try to get young people out here, or young housewives or partners or whatever the case may be nowadays?
Well, that's what, to me, that's something
some
that we're all...
markets, the reason I asked you,
yeah,
that some of the other markets, they have kind of these incentive days.
Absolutely.
And they have face painting for to get the children out and all that sort of
thing. That's true. That's absolutely something we've been kind of looking at. And as a group, we're going to try and we'll chat, and we're going to try and sort of bring that back out. And all that we'll kind of put through the social media, and we'll try and kind of build that kind of momentum.
Right, okay. Now, you're not a Clonmel person. I would an accent like that.
No. Can you tell?
So, I think I've worked it out, Steve. I think I have. But I haven't worked out exactly where you are. I gather you're from the UK.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm from Oxfordshire. I moved over here to work with Justin and Jenny Green at Ballyvillane House six, seven years ago now. Met a girl, never left, and here I am. And I love Clonmel and Tipperary.
Okay. Now, your oven is here today. You have a big jeep to pull it around. Gather you go other places as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm also going to Mountain View Market now, which is a fantastic place over just in South Kilkenny there. So I go over there on a Sunday, and lots of sort of festivals and the food festivals. I like going over to Ballymaloe and places like that.
Ballymaloe would be the number one place to go. Most of us would like to go to Ballymaloe.
Exactly. There's a real buzz whenever you're there.
There's a real buzz in Ballymaloe, and everything they're doing there.
Absolutely.
So I know I'm going to go around here now after talking to you and talk to some of the stallholders, but most of the food that I will see here, or most of the produce that I will see here, is local.
Absolutely, yeah. Eggs, the organic meat, it's all right here. So,
right.
yeah.
Yeah, now I presume the fish comes from someplace around Waterford. Not exactly.
No, it's exactly.
Because most of the fish will be from the sea and not from fresh water.
No, that's very true.
That's very true.
Well,
I know you have fish here.
Absolutely,
okay, look,
yeah.
I want to thank you very much for inviting me.
No, it's
and
pleasure,
I now
thank
go
you.
Around and try to meet some of your colleagues here.
Absolutely.
And
have a nice
talk about their food. And again, a big thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely, thank you.
Having spoken there with Steve, I now have Tricia Butter. And Tricia is here at market with free-range poultry and pork. Tricia, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Hi, Jim. Nice to meet you. You're very welcome to the market this morning.
Thank you very much. And at least in the morning I'm recording this, the sun is shining.
Yeah.
That's a unique thing now.
It is, Tricia. It's great to see a bit of sun.
Yeah.
To bring the people in today.
Okay. How long have you had a stall here in the Clonmel market?
I'm actually here 9 years now, Jim. I set up the business 10 years ago this year. So I'm keeping free-range chickens and turkeys at Christmas and pigs. I keep my own pigs. So that's what I'm offering the market, free-range poultry and the meat from our pigs. So today I have like fresh pork, rashers, ham, sausages, burgers, chicken portions. So,
over that 9 years now since you've been coming in here, have you seen many changes?
I have. It's grown steadily. I think the appetite for the kind of meat I produce is thankfully growing. Like in this day and age where a lot of people are going vegan and turning away and they're saying, oh, too much meat is bad for you. I think I'm in a good position where I'm producing high quality meat from a high welfare system.
Mm-hmm.
So people are more conscious, I think, nowadays about how the animals are reared, what kind of life they have. Like the chickens and the pigs have free access to the fields outside. I reared them from day old chicks and from baby pigs, and they're on the farm all their life. So the high welfare is our top priority. So I think people are thinking more about that. And you have the same customers here from the word go, and you see their families grow up and it's lovely and they become friends. And then it's lovely to see new faces coming in. So I think it's steadily growing. So I'd be confident enough that I'm on the right track.
And would the customers be conscious of and ask you, how do you rear your chickens? How do you rear your poultry?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
They are
interested.
Do they talk about the pig and the chicken?
Oh, they do. And like I have the picture there of the pigs out in the field and the chickens. And it's lovely when kids come in and they see it and they'll be pointing. And, you know, I think they would. I think people are more aware. And I think it's a lovely opportunity when you think of it, to be able to go into a market and buy your produce from the actual farmer, from the person that produces. Like, you don't get that in a supermarket. You know, so I'm very, very open and about
and
how we rear them.
And you're prepared to talk about them, the rearing of them as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And with a customer.
You know, and people have come out and visited us on the farm and seen for themselves, you know, how they are. And I put up a lot of videos on Facebook and that, you know, showing people what we do. Butler's Family Farm is the name of my business.
Okay, and how successful is the social media for you?
I'm not great at it. I'm getting better. My son kind of is helping me kind of get to grips with that. But it's vitally important nowadays that you have to be on it. And it's a great way of communicating with your customers as well, I find.
You find, okay. Where is the farm?
We're talking to all the people here in Clonmel. Yeah, well, I'm in South Kilkenny.
You're South Kilkenny.
South Kilkenny, just near Piltown. Between Piltown and Mullinavat is where we're based. So about 40 minutes away.
You have Tipperary people eating Kilkenny chickens. Is that the way it's going?
I actually do three markets in Tipperary, would you believe? Because I do Carrick on Fridays. I'm here on Saturdays and we're in Care as well.
Okay.
So I've great time for the Tipperary people. Like most of my customers are Tipperary people.
Do the customers normally come back to you? It isn't just a once-off.
Oh, no.
Like a fella like me walking in today, it isn't a once-off.
No, you'd have the same people come in here every week. every week you see the same people. Like, this is part of their weekly shop. So, and then it's lovely, you see new people coming in as well, and we love to see new faces.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to go down here. There's two of your customers waiting for you.
I better go to
And
them.
I want to say hello to them. Hello, good morning. How
morning.
Are you?
Morning,
Jim Finn from Tip FM. Don't call me sir. I'm Jim.
You can't get better meat than this.
You can't get better meat than this.
You cannot get better rashers, sausages, rashers. Back bacon. Beautiful. I mean, seriously beautiful.
Are you seriously beautiful? Trisha tells me she's been coming here for 9 years.
I'm coming here longer than she is coming. I come to her every Saturday.
You come every Saturday.
And I wouldn't go anywhere else.
Okay, and you'd vouch for all this lovely meat that's really fresh.
I recommend it to anybody I speak to.
Thanks very much. What's your name?
Maureen.
Maureen.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks very much, Maureen.
Pleasure.
For that. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you. I would recommend you buy some of her stuff too.
Thank you very much.
Her bacon is magnificent.
Okay, well, it's all...
It's magnificent.
Reared at home, and she's...
Oh, she has her own bonnets.
And sorry. And,
she has her own bonnets.
And my apologies for holding you up here.
We forgive you this time.
Okay, thanks
Tip FM, good luck.
Thanks very much, Maureen. Thanks. Listeners, are you into honey? Because the next people that I met at the Clonmel Farmers Market are the Joneses. I've met Mum, who is Jane, and I've met Robin, who is the daughter, and they have a lovely little stall just inside the gate with honey beautifully displayed. Bees here that won't sting either, which is quite good. I'll start off with you, Jane. We'll leave Mum aside for the moment. Okay, when did you start producing honey?
Well,
I won't say producing honey, but selling it. The bees,
selling
the bees
it.
Producer.
My sister started it as an enterprise in school.
Oh,
yeah, in second year. So then we kind of decided to jar it and label it and then sell it together. So she does the beekeeping side of it and then I do all the admin and the jarring and labelling. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a good year for honey?
Not this year. Last year was better, I think.
Well, this is 24 now. I'm talking about last
2023, yeah. No, it was. It was an okay year, yeah.
Yeah, an okay year.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a very funny year as well,
you know,
if you take... We got a lovely bit of weather. People tell me that the best honey was got very early last year.
It was, and kind of the spring crop, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was gotten.
Yeah, the summer just washed out.
Yeah, the summer.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Stop. Yeah. Three of us are not like this, so.
Sorry.
You're all right. You're all right, Jane. How many hives then has your sister, who's not here with us this morning?
We've 8 of them.
8 hives?
Yeah.
8 hives?
8 hives, yeah. Yeah.
How much honey do the 8 hives produce?
Could be anything between 50 pounds up.
Per hive.
50 per hive.
Yeah, it depends on the year, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And how local then to Clonmel are the hives?
So we're based in Moorestown, Powerstown.
Yeah.
We've got 6 different sites that they're in.
You have 6 different hives.
Yeah.
And is it just one hive in each site?
One or two,
I passed someplace the other day and they had about 10 hives in just one little corner in the field.
Yeah, could have been us.
Okay, you say you only have 10 hives.
Someday.
And is it easy then for you to get somebody to give you a corner to put a hive into? Because I gather they're not all on your own property.
No, it was kind of family friends.
Yeah.
So friends that my dad would have stuff that kind of let us put the hives on their sites. It wasn't random people. It was people that we knew.
Yeah. Now, as a business, how is it going?
Why? Getting going.
Yeah.
We're only getting going. They wrote me in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. When did you start?
When Lee was in TY, so it was a 2017.
Yeah,
but we only started selling into shops and doing farmers markets this year.
And what were you doing, just selling it to friends from home or
from
something?
From our door,
okay. You go to the hive is full, the honey is full. How long does it take you from the time that you take the honey out of the hive to put it into a jar to sell it to the customers here or any of the shops?
It's a fairly long process, isn't it?
Yeah, what's the process?
Well, I suppose you're asking kind of a question
a there.
When
question.
It comes off of, when it, you're extracting it from the hives.
Yeah.
So it's stored then in buckets. So maybe if you were to go straight from the hive into the jar, I can't really answer. It's not that I can't answer. It depends on the on what you actually have to do that day.
Yeah, I know.
But on a time frame, I suppose.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about.
Time frame. Oh, you could have a jar of honey from your hive within 24 hours.
Within 24 hours, so.
But as a business, you're not going to have it like that.
No.
Because it's all done in stages. So when it comes.
I know, honey is done in stages anyway. As I said there at the beginning, the early part of 2023 was good for honey, and then you'd have got that, and then you'd have put it back, redone the hive, and then you come back to it August or September, and you have to go through all that process, take it out again.
Well, see, that's what happened last year. Like, last year was a great spring, and we were dancing around the place.
Yeah.
And summer was a washout.
Yeah.
Right.
So a lot of beekeepers that we know lost honey.
I know there was a lot of problems. And then they had to do an awful lot of feeding the bees over the past winter.
Over the winter, because the stocks would have been low.
Are you doing well here now at the farmer's market?
Well, I'm actually only back from France, so Mum has been...
We said we'd do it this year, so...
Yeah. You know, it's a big commitment now.
It is a big commitment.
Yeah.
But we're getting out there. We're getting to talk to our customers that we'd never got to do before.
Okay.
So that's the big thing.
Okay.
Tell everybody we're here.
Now, you tell everybody why you're here.
Why are we here? We're here to say hello, that we're local, and that our honey is a great product, and it's not heated, it's filtered through a core strainer, and it's as natural as you're going to get. It's not processed the way it's processed in your supermarkets.
Right, and it's all from Clonmel and the surrounds.
Yes.
So you're eating something that has been produced locally.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about it is you're a young person here. Why aren't there more young people like yourself, Robin, here?
I don't know.
Would you come down here if you were, if you weren't here for the honey, would you come down to buy something from some of the other people, stallholders?
I probably would,
Would you be into free-range chickens like they're here beside me?
No, but the cakes and the jams and things like that.
Well, look, I must wish both of you the best of luck.
Thank you.
I hope you sell an awful lot of honey. Mind those bees. They're very, very important.
They are.
And a big thanks for talking to me. Okay, I'm now with the early bird. And the early bird here in the market sells eggs. Okay, and it's Trevor Power. Trevor, how long have you been coming here?
I'm here since the start of the market. I'll be here 19 years in November. It's been busy.
Busy, and over the 19 years, has things changed much here?
It has. At the start, it was a hard sell to get people to come to start. It started off slow, but I think more and more people are getting into where the food is from. All the eggs here are from our own farm. We're in Ballinamult, County Waterford. So people are more aware that they want to know where the food is from and who produced it and what the hens were fed, and that's getting more and more important.
I've asked this question to some of your colleagues here. Do people really ask you about where the eggs come from? Everybody knows the hen lays them, but more importantly, do they ask about the welfare and how the hens are they out in the open, are they free range, or awkward questions that we don't like being asked?
No, as for me, I'm happy to be asked. I produce the eggs on the farm, our own farm, so I've no problem at all. And we're asked, I'm asked here every week about the feed, about the hens, are they looked after, are they out? All these questions, and they're important questions. But the difference is they can ask them here and I can answer them.
How many hens have you laid? There's an awful lot of eggs here now.
There is, we've over 11,000 hens, in four different flocks, and 30 acres for hens.
So I gather you sell them to more than farmers markets.
I do. The farmers market in Dungarvan as well, but I supply super value stores in Waterford and Tipperary. I supply a lot of restaurants, a lot of hotels, so it's very busy.
Now, there's an old saying that the chicken always dies in death.
Well.
I'm quite sure you somebody who keeps hens knows all about them. Well, do they die in death?
I think they don't. I'm still going with 19 years. I haven't gone broke yet anyway, so it's okay. It's 7 days a week. It's 365 days a year. But look, there is an income in it, but we won't say it's easy. It's okay.
I presume, you know, production methods have changed considerably since you started 19 years ago.
Hasn't changed a massive lot from our side. We've kept the farm.
But mechanisation as far as
It is
presentation
improved,
and all that.
It is, and packaging and all this side of it is changing. The farm itself is very similar to what we started off with in us. It's a good feed. Feed is really important. I buy my hens off the same person I did since the start. So from that point of view, it's simple if you keep it that way. It's the feed and the hens is the most important thing. If you get them right, then everything else is pretty straightforward.
And do the same people keep coming back to you every single Saturday morning?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like and the other markets you go to?
Yeah, people with me from the very start since I started, and they're still coming, so it's good.
So if anybody wants a fresh egg in Clonmel, drop down every Saturday morning to the farmer's market. You're sure to get one. Is that the way it is, Trevor?
Yeah, exactly. We'll be here every Saturday morning. Yep.
Okay. Well, look at Trevor. Thanks very much for having a chat with me. That listener was Trevor Power. Paddy, I'll have a few words with you. Listeners, I was at this market, I'd say 10 years and maybe 12 years ago. One of the people that I spoke to back then was Paddy Stokes. And Paddy with his vegetables, and I think everybody knows Paddy Stokes all the way from Kilsheelan. Paddy, you're wearing well, if I might add.
Thank you very much, and I can say the same for you.
Thank you very much. You're wearing well. How has, you know, you're here since it started.
Yes.
And you're still growing all these lovely vegetables back at home.
Yes.
Yeah. How easy has it been for the past few months now?
Oh, it's just a complete disaster. I mean, it's rain and more rain and then flooding and then more rain back again.
Yeah.
It's just impossible to do anything.
Yeah, and have you been any way lucky at all to get in? I know you're into the spud business. To get in potatoes?
No.
No earlies in yet, have you? No, nothing.
Not even where, I would say, best part of a week away from even starting to plough at this stage.
That's serious, isn't it?
It's very serious. There'll be a knock on in the towards the end of the year.
There will. There will be a big knock on.
Yeah, but there's all the crops. There's none of the spring crops planted, and there's only about half the winter crops planted because the weather was so bad. So there's all that land and the land is still there, and until conditions come right for ploughing, we are not going to do anything until the conditions arise. Now, hopefully next week, they're promising us good weather. And after about a week's soakage now, it might be good enough to plough and to do a bit of tilling. The only thing against that is days are getting longer now, so you'd have more scope if the weather comes right. But you are, as always, dependent on weather.
Right. So it's very unlikely then that you'd be talking about here second earlies. It's very unlikely then that you'll have a second early before the 1st of July.
Oh, not a hope.
Not a hope.
Not a hope.
Right.
Not a hope.
So are we going to be importing bloody potatoes into Ireland?
Well,
I know we're doing it at the moment, not too much of it, and that doesn't argue well for you, but at the same time, most of the spuds are Irish.
We can try and import it, but the same situation pertains in most European countries. And if they're not there, they're not there.
Right.
But, you know, there's a certain amount there at the moment. We would have some in store at the moment, and we'll keep going as long as we can. Earlies will be a problem. At the moment, main crop are becoming a problem.
I see you have rhubarb here.
Yes.
That came on very quick this year.
It did. An exceptional year.
I have a bit of it home myself, Paddy.
An exceptional year for rhubarb. It likes the rain. Well, of course, the way the rhubarb is with the big leaves, it channels all the rain down to itself and it grows from that. But no, it is a good year for rhubarb.
I know you've been coming here. Do you like coming here?
Hell
or high water.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're...
You know, I'm here now on a nice Saturday morning. But, I mean, last Saturday morning, it was piddling down like nothing on earth.
No, you come here every Saturday. That you have your regular customers. And if you let the customers down, they're not going to come back. Okay. And if you're going to be successful at marketing, you're there when they want you. and they are there when you want them as well, of course. But you know, it works both ways. But if you're coming day, go day, God send Sunday, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work, and that's it.
Okay. Well, look, Paddy, thanks very much. It's grand seeing you again after all these years. That listener as well, Paddy Stokes, who is the main vegetable man here, and even if you come here next week, he has cabbage plants and all sorts of things for you. So it's well worth paying Paddy a visit and come down to the farmer's market here in Clonmel.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Listeners, if you like relishes, if you like pate, and if you like quiches, Sue Espan is the person to drop into at the farmer's market here in Clonmel. Sue, lovely food you have here.
Thank you. Yes, I like to think so.
Okay.
All homemade, of course.
All homemade, good.
And essentially using produce from my own garden.
Okay.
Predominantly for the chutneys. At this time of year, of course, I can't get courgettes because they're not growing. But
Don't worry, they'll be on very shortly.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Yeah. Particularly if you can put them into a tunnel, they'll be here in no time.
Yeah, no, I don't have a tunnel, I'm afraid. It's all grown. No, it's
okay.
All outside.
Okay, and how long have you been coming to the market, Sue?
Since just before Christmas.
Just one. So
yes.
You're one of a newbie here.
A newbie, that's right.
Yes, yeah. And before we started to record, you said the family are from Scotland.
Well, my husband's family originally came from one of the Orkney Islands. I think it is the island of Hoy.
Right, okay.
But I actually was born and brought up in that well-known enclave of horse racing, Cheltenham.
Oh, and do you go back there for a few days racing? No,
not at all.
No,
because I have actually become an Irish citizen. So.
Yeah.
No, my home is here.
Your home is here.
Definitely.
Okay. And all is lovely. And, you know, since you started coming here, do you enjoy coming to the market?
Yeah, when the weather is good.
Yes. I believe now a couple of Saturdays ago was pretty bad.
But, last week was appalling, yeah.
So everybody's
yes. But I enjoy it, yes. I like meeting all the people. And yeah.
Well done.
Thank
Keep
you.
Up the good work. It's what's keeping you young, Sue.
No, absolutely.
And
yes.
Keeping us all young.
Yes, quite.
Okay, look, thanks for having a word with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
If you drop into the farmer's market here in Clonmel and you want something nice and sweet, you come to the Heffernan stand. And with me now I have Sean. Sean, will you tell me, how long is your mum doing this?
Well, we're here in the market for, I think, 5.5 years now.
Right, okay. And lovely sweet things. Have you sweet tooth as well?
Oh, of course do, yeah. Now,
there's two customers here now in front of us and they're picking out lovely chocolate cakes.
Yeah, well, there's a fair old variety for them to choose for anyways, yeah.
Yeah.
We try and just cater to all tastes.
Yeah, and if the weather is good like it is now this morning, I see you're putting out tables there. Do people come here, buy a cake from your mum and go over there and sit down having got a coffee from you?
They do, of course, yes. Yeah. The weather has a big impact on the busyness of the market and how well we do with sales. People like to come out and have a sit down, have a nice chat, just enjoy the atmosphere here on a nice day. Of course, there are still the regulars that come out on the during the bad weather, but the weather does make a big impact on the place. Yeah.
There's not that many young people around here. Why is that? You're a young person now.
Yeah, well...
You tried to put you on now, and there's a lovely young girl over there called Robin, but, you know, you're the only young people that are here.
I suppose...
So it's not a place for young people, is it?
No, not really. I suppose a lot of people just want to see in of a Saturday morning, but send the mother or the grandmother down for the messages. But it's still nice. There are some young people that come out and just have a sit down and a chat, but... I suppose that may be something we could look to improve on, just bringing in a younger generation.
Steve was saying there, that you're hoping to bring in the younger generation. There's a few young people coming in there now.
Yeah.
Now, so this morning here, your mum has what? Scones?
Scones. There's a few different flavours of scones.
Scones, right.
So that's a cinnamon swirl cake there, a coffee cake, a raspberry and vanilla muffins. That's a chocolate biscuit cake, some old-fashioned Viennese fingers. We have brownies. There's a chocolate cake there, a pear and raspberry frangipane. There's a Welsh cheesecake there, a jam bun, an apple cake, and a carrot slice.
Okay, you won't be stuck for something sweet.
No,
and then tea and coffee over here.
Tea, coffee, and hot chocolate on the side. Yeah.
And it's great looking out there now. Two tables, and there's people sitting at both of the tables having tea, coffee, or whatever.
Yeah, it's great to see. Even just people walking by and seeing people sitting around and enjoying the place here, it brings more people in.
Okay.
It seems odd to say, but queues bring more queues.
Okay, well, look at Sean, thanks very much. And
thanks,
I hope yourself and your mum do very well.
Thank you.
Final person that I caught up with at the Clonmel Farmers Market, as you know, that's where the programme is coming from, most of it from, coming from this morning, is Michelle Ryan. And Michelle is here with all kinds of lovely plants and flowers and everything else. So unfortunately, the wind is coming up a bit now. But anyway, Michelle, how long have you been coming here to the market?
I've been here since last summer.
Last summer. So yeah. You're another one of the newbies.
I'm a newbie, yeah.
Good, I'm finishing on a newbie. Okay. And do you enjoy it?
I do, yeah. Absolutely. It's lovely to get out and meet people.
People. And will you explain to my listeners now, they're listening to this at home, what do you have? I'm very much taken by that now. That's gorgeous.
Thank you. So my business is called Lady Ivy Flower Farm.
Right.
And we specialise in dried flowers. And we also do fresh flowers. So the farm is up in Kilcash and we run it as a permaculture business and sort of a no-dig, working with nature business.
Yeah.
Yep. We do weddings and we have a studio above in Kilcash. So people can come up. If you have an idea in your head, we'll come up and we'll design it for you.
Okay. And is there a bit of, I suppose, a return to using wildflowers?
Wildflowers?
Yeah, as such.
I suppose
you're up there
is.
In Kilcash now, yeah. On the foot of the mighty mountain here in Tipperary. You know, Slieve na Mon.
Yeah.
And there's an awful lot of, we'd say, nature up there.
There is, yeah. There absolutely
you know,
is.
And that's
yeah.
why I mentioned wildflowers. So basically all these are cultivators that are here.
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Yeah. But I find people now, you know, they're throwing out wildflower seed and things like that.
They are indeed, yeah. But what we try to do is that kind of wildflower look,
yeah,
but within...
That has a very wildflower look.
Yeah, it
look.
Does, yeah.
She has a centrepiece here, yeah. Listeners, that is absolutely gorgeous. How is business here now?
It's okay.
Up and down.
It's okay, yeah. But a lot of what we do is the weddings. That's more for us, but... You know, to be here is kind of a way to showcase what we have,
what
so people can come and look and come and have a look.
Okay.
Yeah.
And before I finish, if somebody wants to make contact with you, how did they do?
Apart
from being here on a Saturday.
Yeah,
morning.
All my details are on Google or I'm on Instagram and Facebook.
And the name of the business?
Lady Ivy Flower Farm.
Lady Ivy Flower Farm.
Yep.
And it's all on Facebook.
All on Facebook and Instagram. Yep.
So they'll find you.
Yep.
So I'm saying, listeners, if you really do want some nice flowers, dried or otherwise, Lady Ivy is the person for you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, look, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That, listeners, is all I have for you this morning. I hope you enjoyed the show and that you'll join me at the same time next week. Coming up next is the news at 10 o'clock, and after that, Eamon Dwyer presents Down Your Way.